This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 276 of the Countdown Podcast, the place where movies and lists go together like night and day, yin and yang, or Paul's beer and my penis. My name is Wayne.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
And my name is Paul. I'm so happy to be here today. Can you tell?
Oh, shit. It's great. This is awesome.
Drinking, thank God, a CC and dry. Hooray. welcome to the podcast of Countdown Movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And today's topic is a very special one because we have a very special guest from the CC Radio Network fangirling podcast. We have Rachel join us today. Rachel, welcome to the Countdown.
Hey, I'm so glad to be here.
What up, Ray Ray? Good to hear. Good to hear. Great. We never get chicks on this show, really, or very few times. Okay. So it's left
it's
to me to be.
That we can't put up with you, Wayne.
I know how it is and why.
But the brown folk need to stick
That's
together.
That's right. It's an important folk. Rachel is brown like myself. So for a change, Paul's a minority.
How does it feel, Paul?
That's right. Try getting a cab, motherfucker. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't actually mention the topic, but we're doing the top 10 romantic couples, and you might think Rachel chose it, but she didn't. It was Wayne.
Hang on a second. I think how the conversation went was that Paul said, hey, let's revisit some of the topics here and there. This one came up, and then I said, that sounds great, because Paul wanted, like,
No. Let's tell the truth here, Wayne, because I was like, you know what I'd love to do? Fucking serial killers.
Yes.
And you were like, no, friend. Let's do
Thank you, Rachel, for setting us straight. You get a little bit of insight here into what happens on the show where Wayne spins the facts to suit him and then somehow tries to claim I'm the politician.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Willis. All right, so yes, there you are. That's our show.
There it is. That's what's going to happen. It's pretty straightforward, but also from both TV and film. So we've expanded that for, I think, the second time in the history of the show to incorporate both.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Favorite on-screen couple, basically. Best on-screen romantic couple.
Yep,
we'll romantic. Come up with a shorter name.
Romantic. No, top 10 romantic couples, I think, works
sweet
pretty well. All right, cool. That's what's going to happen. But before we get into the show proper, how about, Rachel, you tell our listeners what fangirling is all about?
Oh, Fangirling is a show on the CC Radio Network. It is hosted by myself and a lovely lady named Amy. And the two of us basically just sit and chat about all things pop culture and... sometimes we just shoot the breeze. Most of the time we go off on stupid tangents, but it is basically just a show about two geeky girls having a geek out amongst themselves about various things.
Can you give a sample of a topic or two that you've done?
Oh, yeah, we've done superheroes that make the worst boyfriends.
Nice.
We've done why Disney princes are secretly assholes.
Yeah, there's no soundboard on your show, which is great.
No, you know what? I would love a soundboard.
Ah, trust me, you would suck
it. You know what? Amy would probably not fuck it up like Paul, so maybe.
oh dear!
It's a great,
yeah, no, it's a whole bunch of fun.
It is.
I highly recommend everybody getting on there and giving us a listen.
I do like it. There was an episode you did called "Super Friends with Benefits."
Oh yeah!
I never actually listened to it. I was like, I got to listen to this one as well. What's that one? That sounds great.
Yeah, amazing. It was a really good episode. We just discuss who's boning who.
Ah, in the superhero universe.
Oddly enough, no different than today. Yeah. A lot of who's boning who.
It is a lot of porn.
Yeah. So-
Anyway, it's a great show. Do check it out if you haven't already. And that's the preamble. Then let's get into the show proper with the first segment that we call The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who?
Who? Who?
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who wants a recap?
Who
wants a recap?
The recount is our mailroom. Paul, what was on the line this week?
Well, this week we had, of course, first of all, the results from last week where it was 9-all coming into the year. And then in an amazing turn of events, I've come back to I got smashed again.
I saw this.
59 votes for Wayne's film top 10 film franchises list versus my paltry 24. It's a sad day for all concerned, but no, I knew I was going to lose once
still
I put MCU at number 9.
No, it's fine. Still nowhere near like a 10 that we're all fearing one day.
No, I was genuinely worried about getting 10. So, no, I totally understand why you won this weekend. Here's some of the comments that we got. Chef Ben Randall said, hard to vote for either of you, misguided fool, with no Star Wars and no Tremors list. But I'm Team Paul this week. John Wick is undeniable. I'm glad Chef Ben was around because there weren't many like him.
John Wick ain't all that, baby. Just, you know.
John Snow said, I reckon Paul was trying to do some reverse psychology this week with his whole I'm not going to win, I know it stance. I mean, on one hand, brilliant, but on the other hand, Wayne had MCU in the right place.
Hey, Rach, do you like the MCU?
Who doesn't?
Exactly. Paul, apparently.
I do. I love the MCU, but I wouldn't put it... No. I would probably have put it around the same place as Paul.
Oh, really? See, that's how that is. Like,
that's worth 59 votes right there.
Wait a minute. How about John Wick? How about John Wick, Ray? Where's that
I
gone?
Hate John
Wick. Ah! See? Fucked up. Word. This is great.
I hate John Wick. I'm so sorry.
Wow, for me.
It's just, you know, it's the hyper-violence thing that it's just like, okay, fucking whatever. Okay, your dog died.
Well, that was the most realistic part about it, because you're going to kill some motherfuckers if that happens. But
yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I know. It's just a, yeah, anyway.
But not every person. I feel like it's like somebody killed my dog, and so I'm going to kill everyone, and it's
exactly.
Like,
all you have to do is kill the guy that killed your dog.
Just kill the guy that killed your dog.
I'm thinking I'm back.
And maybe a couple of people that he cared about. You
know? That, yeah, in front of him. And then, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Hot damn! Well, there we go. Well, Sam Hurley said, I voted for Wayne, obviously from Movie Reviews and 20 Qs, recent guest on the show. I voted for Wayne 3 weeks in a row. Am I a cousin now?
You're kind of white, but I'm in to have you on in the team.
Ah, dear. And then we'll give some love to, of course, our CC radio mate, Troy Spinner. Paul, about 20% of the MCU films suck. Number 9. Also, Paul, I refuse to even acknowledge the existence of 25% of the Indiana Jones movies. Number 5. Also, Paul, one of the 3 of the Nolan Batman movies are a letdown. Number 2. It's a letdown comparative. Did I need to explain this?
Oh, is this a great day? Paul's beloved numbers have come back to bite him on the ass. All right, that's what's going on here. And Troy Pimp pointed it out. Nice work, my man.
So Wayne basically is feeling...
Vindication!
Right. All okay, as long as I can use the soundboard.
Isn't it great when there's no soundboard? Oh, wait, nope. I don't know.
Nope. Anyway, I lost by a lot. Well done. You're now leading 10-9, *10* on the year. Hooray you. And word. I'm going to get smashed this week as well.
Although we'll see.
We all expect Rachel to win, yeah. Let's face it. Nevertheless, I'll look for an asterisk and come second with my heartfelt list.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, Wayne plays like he doesn't care. You should see him behind closed doors furiously masturbating. Right.
It's got nothing to do with the score. There's a mirror in that room. Okay.
Over to Patreon then. Jeff Hartley, patron to the show. He says a lovely message, which I wanted to read and share with listeners. And I didn't ask Jeff's permission, so hopefully this is okay. Guys, you guys are always thanking us for being patrons, which is appreciated. But I wanted to thank you for continuing to produce new episodes, even though new content is very limited. Obviously, talking about COVID here. With your passion for movies, it must be hard to know the effort each week is very appreciated. Sorry, terrible listening, reading. I can't do it. Listening to you during this pandemic has been a very welcome relief and gives me a few minutes just to have fun and push the ever-present challenge to the background. My family and I have went back and rewatched some of the older titles you reviewed, Aliens, for example.
Mm.
Yeah. And I've talked about you two in your show enough that they no longer ask, who the heck are Wayne and Paul? Keep it up and know your passion about movies, your friendship and your show are really making a difference. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Oh, how very kind.
That was just lovely. And, you know, it's nice to start off an episode on a kind note. Well, after the masturbating joke.
I thought that was very kind.
Before we get into the 3 list proper and start taking digs at one another. And we nice. Fully expect Rachel to be the diggiest of them all.
Yeah, I'm hoping for it anyway.
All right, then, let's get into it. Then on the other side of this music cue, the top 10 romantic couples across all of media.
Sure.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch alone.
Your execution is always questionable, but still interesting.
Is the subject of this week's countdown, and so we always swing to the guest first. Just quickly to ask, Rach, tough this week or really easy?
It was actually tough because every time I kept thinking of another, like a couple, another couple would crop up. And then
in fangirling,
we often do kind of like, you know, listy type things, but we never actually rank them. So ranking the couples for me was just a dilemma. And there were tears shed, and I had to say goodbye to some couples. And
it do be like that sometimes. Like,
it became a very emotional experience for me.
Yeah, I had a problem myself.
It was tough.
It was you must have
I really struggled.
Yeah, Paul hates love, so
I do. So yeah, let's roll with that. Paul hates love, yet he put 10 couples together. Vote for me.
Oh Lord.
All right, how about you lead us away then? What's your number 10 best couple in TV or film?
Okay, my number 10 best couple is the subject of one of the biggest upsets in Oscars history.
Ooh.
I'm talking about Jack and Ennis from Brokeback Mountain.
Good one. All right.
Yeah. Obviously these are like two guys. They meet on Brokeback Mountain on a ranch, and one cold night, you know, mm-hmm. they slip into the sleeping room together and have
Mountain
all the
euphemism.
Sex, and then all of the gay stuff happens.
Yeah. I mean,
so it's not a euphemism, is what I'm hearing. Literally in the movie is a place called Brokeback Mountain.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they work on a ranch together on Brokeback Mountain, and they always talk about going back there, and they each end up married and, you know, living this secret double life as lovers over the years.
Michelle Williams is Heath Ledger's wife.
Right.
And you know what I found about this movie, right? In order to be with his gay lover, Heath Ledger, who has kids with his wife, right? He just goes, I'm going away for 3 days. And she's like, you coming back? Because she knows he doesn't like...
Isn't that all all affairs happen?
But I'm just saying, if you had kids and stuff, if you said to Patsy, listen, I'm going to fuck off for 3 days, that would not fly well.
No.
You take care of the kids for 3 days.
See ya. Especially if we were saying kids, I'd be like, where's the other kid come from? But anyway...
You take care of my responsibilities.
Yes.
So nice work. I actually did really, really like this show, Ray Ray. It was like I got to it late, but I was amazed at how good just as a movie it was. Ang Lee, you know, he'll do this, then he'll do Gemini Man. You know, it's just like you can't tell.
Yeah.
Oh, the Hulk.
He's so hit and miss, isn't he?
Totally.
And then Life of Pi, which is one of Wayne's favorites.
Love that show.
All right, then Wayne, go on.
Okay, this one, I don't know how it's going to go because I don't know how many people watch this show, but I've always liked this couple. That 70s show, it's Eric Foreman and Donna Pinciotti. So that's Tobias, Topher Grace, and that girl.
Lauren Pippin?
She's in
Pippin.
Is it?
Yeah,
Laura Prepon.
Yeah, from Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black, exactly, right? So here's the thing, right? They are a teenage couple. They're high school sweethearts and whatever. Here's my thing. I hate lame couples, all right? Have you seen the lame couples, Paul? Have you ever been out with people with excessive PDA and they just kind of shit and you can tell the guy's whipped or you can tell that she's fucking some, I don't know. It's really, really shitty and I hate lame couples. These two are not lame at all. She gives him shit and then but each time he makes a dry joke, she rolls with it immediately, becomes like this. It's almost like a bit that they're doing every time they have a conversation. It's wonderful and she's smiling and laughing the whole time. So even though she's a bigger framed girl, she's still awesome and it just works. It just works.
Damn.
No, I'm saying she's so lovely. I think she's beautiful. You know I love the redheads, Paul.
I do know you love the redheads.
There you go.
Genuinely shocked that a woman who laughs at the guy's jokes all the time is up high on your list.
Fuck you! Do you like this one, Ray?
I do. I like them together. Like, of all the couples in that 70s show, they're probably the best.
Because Kelso and what's-her-name is not that cool. Like,
Mila Kunis,
yeah, they're like a bit annoying. These two, great. So
okay,
yeah,
never got into that show, so
I know.
My number 10, I know you're into Wayne, and I could have gone the safe bet with this. I could have gone Buffy and Angel, but
I just assumed you were going to do that.
But no, instead, I'm going actually Buffy and Spike.
Oh fuck off! What?
Here's why. Because Spike, not that I'm saying this is what you should do, young men of the world out there, okay?
Sure, Paul.
Disclaimer. He's so against it. He's got no chance with her at all, yet he falls for her so hard, he's prepared to change hundreds of years of killing people with the help of a little chip in his head, let's be honest, right? But he goes to the mat for her in this particular way, and she never reciprocates. But his love for her is so pure, he dies for her. And there's something about that that really gets me in the heartstrings, you know, dry and weather that they are. That's why. So, and like, oh, I was the whole time I was rooting for him so hard, whereas Buffy was so into Angel. That's a given. You know what I mean?
So what I'm hearing here is that you enjoy the concept of pussy whipped.
For the right woman.
No, hey, we've all been there.
I was going to say, though, that like, were they? Can you really call them a couple, though, if he was so into her and she never really reciprocated?
Not to the level he did, but she did reciprocate.
She just shook a flap in his direction. That doesn't mean that he like they were into that she was into him. You know what I'm saying,
yeah. No, she was into him enough, but she no. You're absolutely right. That's why it's my number 10, and also because I bet really I really struggled with coming up with 10. So. Yeah. And like I said, the safe bet would have just been to put them in there. Buffy and Angel in here and just laughed about that. And then, you know, but again, honestly.
So you're saying the Buffy and Angel are on your list?
No.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But I am not saying there is no more Buffy
That's
characters
fine.
On
I
my
understand
list.
Completely where it's going. Rachel, please, your number 9.
My number 9 is Katniss and Peeta from The Hunger Games.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah.
Seen the first one.
I've seen a couple of them. Now, the Peeta fella, he's the blonde dude, yes?
He's the blonde dude, yeah. So this couple was like totally underrated and they were done dirty by Hollywood because they wanted to, you know, do that whole love triangle thing and throw in a hunky Hemsworth guy just to keep people interested or whatever. But the true love story is between Katniss and Peeta. Yeah, it's like he's from the richer class of District 12. She's super poor. Mm-hmm. They go through so much together. They're in two Hunger Games together. They go through the games, the rebellion, the war, torture, PTSD, memory loss, death, destruction, all of that. And they just find peace with one another and move forward together. They protect each other.
That's pretty cool.
They grow together, you know, and they choose each other. I like it.
Yes, that is cool. See, Hunger Games, right? Like, I remember seeing the first one, and I know it's a young adult thing, so I didn't expect much violence, but it's actually still quite harsh. And then Woody Harrelson is cool. And then, like, the second, like, even as this goes, is this like Harry Potter where it gets darker?
Yeah.
Or is it like that? Because that would make sense. It's already pretty dark to start with. But, you know, I like it. I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it. I love me some J-Law.
Oh,
Jesus. That's the first live belch Paul has ever done. And a belch of dissent, no less.
I could have hit the soundboard.
Yeah.
I went with that.
I prefer the belch, frankly.
I do apologize there for belching on top of you, Rachel. You were saying something very poignant and important.
I don't know. It's fine. It's fine. I don't mind being belched at. I felt like Marge Simpson.
Okay.
Not the last time we'll hear that name today.
Oh, my God. Okay. Nice one.
Over to you.
My number 9 is... All right, Paul. Now, you know I'm not very masculine. The world knows I'm not very masculine. But if you think, like, but wait till you hear this. Glee. You ever watch Glee, Rachel? I know Paul doesn't.
Of course.
Okay.
I love Glee.
All right, good. Thank God you're here. All right. So check it out, right?
Which one is it? The one that's a complete bitch? The one that drowned herself? Or...
No. See, now you're hearing Rachel, like, gasp because it's like, you dirty bastard.
It's too soon.
It is way too soon. God
damn. They haven't even found a body.
Oh, jeez.
What is your major malfunction, you know
numbnut? That was it me.
Paul doesn't know how to use the soundboard so much, he even fucks on himself. Okay, no, the characters I'm talking about are Blaine and Kurt. So, am I right? So it's two dudes. Now, recant this with me, Paul, Rachel, because Paul is going to be like, please. All right, there is a scene where they're both gay guys, but like the sort of smaller, high-pitched voiced one goes to this other college, and there's a glee club there, and he meets it's Blaine, isn't it? Blaine is
Blaine's there. He sings Teenage Dream.
He sings Teenage Dream.
Isn't
okay?
it great the way that Wayne knows this show so well and this choice so well that he's in the number 9 best couple of all time? Doesn't know who's who.
No, because I know Kurt's one the other, but I don't know how to say the other one. Eat my balls, Paul. All right. So, but that whole scene, well, where you'll remember this, Ray, where the way it's shot with the camera sweeping up with them doing the Teenage Dream performance and how excited he is to go in this new place and he's signed this guy and it's kind of cool. It's actually quite exciting. It's actually quite an
exciting
relationship.
Because it's like he's in a school where it's like all dudes, which is, you know, obviously his dream because he's gay.
Yes, but not all of them are gay. So
And yeah, and they're singing this a cappella version of a really cool pop song.
Exactly.
And the glee club at that school, they're kind of like rock stars, whereas, you know, at William McKinley, they just get fucking slashy thrown at them.
So
and can't imagine why.
Well, the Teenage Dream Performance, go ahead and look that up on Spotify. The Glee Teenage Dream Performance sounds wicked. Am I right?
It's so good.
It is very, very good. Even Katy Perry said it was the shit. So there you go.
Yeah.
Wayne doesn't like musicals, ladies and gentlemen. Just to be clear.
Fine with it. I mean, this one is great. Contemporary, all good. But yeah, there you go. Blaine and Kurt from Glee. That is my number 9.
All right. My number 9 might be a little bit recent in a sense for me because I watched all 7 seasons of this show in the last 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was always disdainful of it. No, it's just another sitcom. Who cares? But in actual fact, these two really won me over, particularly by the end of the first season. So I'm talking about Jake Peralta and Amy Santiago.
I knew you'd fucking see this.
Yeah. So like my list is caught between, you know, their will they, won't they, / you know, unrequited through some of it, and just solid, yes. These people should be together, and then they are together. And so the first season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine is these two, will they, won't they? He's developing feelings. She maybe is. We're not sure.
I'm only up to that. Yep. So I'm interested to hear that. I assume they would get together.
Yeah, they do. They do get together. And once they do, though, they're constant. They're solid. Their relationship, despite the fact he's a fool and, you know, she's a complete nerd, they work together very well. And there's only one or two moments where their relationship wavers, and it's only because of some big decisions that need to be made, not because they ever fall out of love with one another, if that makes any sense.
Plot like that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, so. I really love Jake and Amy. That like, I love that the kind of the reason why they work is because they are such
opposite
different individuals, yeah. And that like they get together and they have all of these periods of growth, and they still have all of these goals and things outside of their relationship, and kind of they're yin and yang. They balance each other out, and they're great. I love them.
Is it still funny though? Like, I mean, like, because it's hard to be
hell, they get even funnier.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They get funnier.
The funniest gag, recurring gag in the show, is the fact that really weird shit turns her on. Like,
yeah,
really? Like what?
So he'll be like, "Oh, I actually organized the menus for our trip away into chronological order when we eat." She's like, "Tell me more." Yeah.
So that is kind of hot.
That kind of stuff is pretty funny.
Okay. And she plays to his kinks too.
Oh yeah, like it's both ways. Die Hard. Oh, that's hilarious. There's a whole episode she organizes to make like him be John McClane.
Oh really?
In a sexual fantasy.
Yeah, in a sexy way.
Yeah. I gotta jump to that one. I don't care. I'm jumping to that one.
Yeah. So they're a great couple. A lot of fun, and that's why they hit my number 9.
Very nice.
Thank you,
Rach. Back to you.
My number 8 is Marshall and Lily from How I Met Your Mother.
You might be able to cop some shit here from
Wayne. No, let's hear it.
Fan of one of those two.
Yeah, but no, but let me hear.
Okay, well, fair enough.
No, it's cool. Let me hear.
I like that, look, they kind of detailed how twisty the road to, you know, true love can be, you know, and like, you know, because they were so young when they got together, They did so many things wrong, but they kind of came through it. And so it shows that it makes it really relatable, like when you find yourself committed to somebody when you're both still children. So they go through like all of this, you know, repeated job dissatisfaction, depression and feared infertility and loss of parents and disappointment in how their life's turning out. But then when all was said and done, they stayed together, and they're still the ones who, like, at the end of the show, they've been together for nearly 20 years, and they're still, like, just so willing to jump each other's bones and stuff. So I think that it's a great testament to, like, a modern age love story.
That is definitely encouraging. If you're still some wanting ass after, like, 30 years with the same person, fantastic relationship. I found that here it is. Because at least it's not Ted. Ted is the biggest bitch in the whole show. Like, he's just a piece of...
I hate Ted.
He's
so
shit,
much.
Right? Ted is shit. And, like, by extension, Marshall is occasional. The good thing about Marshall is he's funny, okay?
Yeah.
He's funny. Yeah. Even Lily's funny, although I'm not a fan much of...
I was saying, Lily's the one I thought you were going
to
take.
Lily, but, like, to me, it's just because she fell from Willow and then became Lily. And then, like, the way that they play off with, like, Lily's so this and she's crazy and she's tough and she's none of those things. But Fine. For the show, we'll let it go. I love How I Met Your Mother. I actually love that. I love Barney, of course. But that's funny. You know.
Of course. Let's try and work out why he loves Barney.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Barney. He's the only funny one. That's
I'm
why.
I'm genuinely shocked that Wayne's List isn't 10 to 1 Barney with someone else.
Yeah, whatever. Nice eight. Okay, mine?
Yep.
Yeah.
My number eight is Joan Wilder and Jack Colton from Romancing the Stone.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You okay? Because I'm an old man, all right? That's how this is. But when I was a kid, I always liked the idea of this couple. She's a romantic novelist. He's some kind of adventurer in Cartagena. And they meet in the jungle when she's in trouble. He offers to be her guide and get her out of the jungle. And she gives him like $375 in traveler's checks. So then, of course, they become involved. And it's an adventure-ass couple. They get shot at, escape, bad guys, all that shit. And in the sequel, Jewel of the Nile, he has a boat. It gets even classier with great locations and murders and shit. Plus, 1980s Michael Douglas is a cool motherfucker, man.
Is this this is the one that's got the Billy Ocean song, right?
Yeah, yeah. When the going gets tough, yeah. My ass gets cold.
Guess I know what we're going out on now.
You cannot argue with that, really.
Do you know this franchise?
No, I don't know Romancing the Stone.
Oh, okay. Let me think if I'm actually going to recommend it to the young'uns over here.
Please stop calling me young.
Comparatively, Rachel.
Comparatively, we're all.
Okay, fine.
No, I do. I reckon if you're having a, you know, sort of a weekday night in or something and it's on, just give it a try. Romancing the Stone. A lot of fun. Danny DeVito.
Oh, well, you've got me.
Well, I don't know.
Well, when you're talking romantic couples.
I found my secret kink.
Yep. Everybody is up for some DeVito.
Oh, hell yes. Disgusting.
Or DeVitoing. All right. My number eight is also from an old film. And I reckon this one might be one you've seen, Rachel. I'm talking Harry Burns and Sally Albright from When Harry Met Sally.
Really?
A yep. Classic.
Yep. And you know why? Because if you're just sticking there long enough, eventually things will happen.
Okay. Now, this is a great thing to pose to Rachel as a guest and also as a guest female.
Yeah.
So check it out, Rachel. The whole conceit, I guess, of Harry Met Sally is men and women can't be friends because eventually someone gonna want to fuck someone, right?
Mm.
Now.
No. It doesn't basically posit that especially men. Want to fuck.
Yeah, when I say someone, yes. I mean fucking
men.
Okay, right?
Good, yeah.
Having said that, I have several non-sexual female relations, all right? But then again, I'm older than 40. I'm thinking to myself, Rach, do you think that if there was someone that was your friend, we're talking pre-marriage, of course, and they hung in there long enough that it like the chances are increased, like you, or is it more that?
But like, there has to be an antagonism as well. There has to be some chemistry there, and I always had chemistry.
But would you argue that any people who are friends have some level of chemistry in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So like it's
I think I don't necessarily think that guys and girls can't be friends without wanting to bone one another, but I think the chances are there.
Totally.
Like, you know, it's kind of undeniable. And, you know, I'm married now, so, you know, I can say that Kate and Troy are my friends, but I mean, no digs at Kate and Troy, but I'm not gonna bang
yeah,
either.
Of course. I might bang Troy. But
We just got kicked off the network.
But then when I think about my friendships like pre-marriage with guys,
mm-hmm.
it either ended in boning or, you know, friend zoning. So
yeah.
There we are.
Friend zoning.
Because they wanted to bone.
Exactly.
Boning or friend zoning.
That is a t-shirt right there.
To bone or friend zone.
Yes, bone or zone, yeah. Yo.
Boning or zoning.
Hashtag bone or zone.
Oh, that's
there you go. That's what we're rolling with this on this marketing for this episode.
I love that. Okay, nice. Nice to hear. Good to hear from an expert.
Yeah, anyway, there we are. Eight for me. That classic couple who have, of course, caused many, many uncomfortable scenes in restaurants because of this film.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I still want what she's having.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, back to you, Rach, for your number seven.
My number seven is Monica and Chandler from France.
Ah. On your list, Wayne?
No.
Ooh.
But only because... Well, you can figure out why. Monica and Chandler, I love this. Tell me all about it, Ray.
You know, they were friends first.
Mm.
They boost each other up,
you know,
where in areas where like each don't feel confident, you know, like because Monica's got all of these, you know, body image issues, but he kind of thinks that he's the most beautiful woman in most rooms, as he would say.
Yeah.
You know? And they encourage each other to like better themselves as well. Like, especially Monica, without really being on Chandler's case, she does little things, you know, like encouraging him to fix his relationship with his father and everything like that. You know, they had all the fertility issues as well. They didn't have all of that bullshit like Ross and Rachel and Ross and fucking everybody else.
I know, they were all over the shop, weren't they? They were terrible choice.
Look, they're on my list.
Yeah, I just kind of really like them. I think they were quite solid. And, you know, she's very, they kind of remind me of Jake and Amy.
Yeah.
But not as good, in my opinion. But, yeah.
Do you find that, because so here, right here, is a TV version of Friends Became Lovers. Okay. Who's funnier, Chandler or Ross? Oh, sorry, Chandler or Monica?
On a personal level, I find Monica funnier because I relate to her so much.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Because I'm very type A like that.
Of the three women in that show, Monica is easily the funniest.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
Easily. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. No, good call.
And if you listen real closely there, you heard Wayne dodge out of the answer to his own question.
You know what? I'll tell you this, all right? Chandler is the funny guy in that show for the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay? His humor does not translate to now.
Today. Yeah.
You know who, yeah. I'll tell you who fucking works today.
Ross.
All right, Ross. Ross is still funny today. Yep. Anyway.
Challenge extended.
Exactly. Excuse me. Okay, my number seven, folks, is, have you ever seen a show called Nick and Nora?
Infinite Playlist?
Infinite Playlist.
Infinite Playlist.
God.
I love this show, man.
This movie sucks more balls than you ever have.
You don't like this? Actually, I understand you have no heart, fucking Tin Man.
I hated this movie.
Michael Cera and Kat Dennings, okay? Oh. They are... This is probably one of the coolest indie soundtracks to a movie ever. How do you not like this movie?
Suck my dick.
Eat balls, bitch. The way that this movie works is basically Nick, what? Michael Cera... Shut up, you fucking fuck. All right? Well, Michael Cera, I'm just going to say it. Michael Cera has a girlfriend who kind of doesn't want him, and she's way out of his league and stuff, and he makes CDs for her, all right, of mixtapes, Nick's CDs, garbage. Right? He gives it her, she chucks it out, Kat Dennings finds it, that's how these two come together. It's actually a very tight, nice, kids out in the music scene type movie, and I love them as a couple. I actually adore this movie. I can't believe Paul does, but when I think about
what should have been my number 10?
What?
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
What kind of gay shit is that?
Way better than this film.
Have you seen that? I've not seen it.
I'm annoyed at myself. I have my honorable mention now. Hooray.
Yeah, you could have subbed it in. You haven't seen this movie, have you, Ray?
Nick and Nora?
Yeah.
I've seen Nick and Nora.
Oh, cool. Did you like it?
I'm not a massive fan.
Not a fan. Is it just me? It must be me.
It must be me.
I understand.
Really? I mean, Michael Cera to start with.
You don't like Michael Cera?
Not really.
Really?
No.
I don't like Kat Dennings either.
I don't like Kat Dennings either. But also just their whole shtick, this whole film, the whole point of it, I was like, ugh. By the end of it, I was genuinely angry.
Oh my God, I've never gotten one so like opposite to you and like most people.
Whereas, watch The Perks of Being a Wallflower, man.
Perks of Being a Wallflower, you say? Yep. Really?
It's not for everyone, but I love that movie. Okay. It's a very similar kind of film, but not...
That's a great movie. Perks of Being a Wallflower period. Is an amazing movie.
Yeah, with a great anyway, great central relationship eventually. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Man, I like this one, folks. What can I say? How we do?
All right, over to me then, right? My number seven? Seven. My number seven is the aforementioned Marge and Homer Simpson.
Yay!
Now, why? Because, look, clearly Marge is the winner in this relationship.
Of course.
We understand this. But Homer's not a bad guy. He's just a boob. He just does dumb shit without realizing it's going to be dumb shit, or he has bad ideas, but he still genuinely loves Marge.
Yeah.
Of course he does. He's got no other option. Well, he's a boob.
He has the patience of a saint.
Yeah, it's a very good way of putting it. I agree, Rach. And I think it's best personified in that episode where she has a weekend off. She goes away on a pampering weekend, and Homer's left to look after the kids.
I remember that one.
And when she comes back, it's all, of course, it's gone pear-shaped and everything's gone wrong. The whole family, including like Maggie's falling over and holding onto her leg. Homer's exact words are, never leave again.
Yep.
Never leave again. Never leave again. Never leave again.
Is that how you are when Patsy leaves?
No. Maybe when Kathy was a baby. Okay. Not so bad now. Now it's like, forget a woman, go to your mean. See ya. No, obviously, I just think that's a marriage. Like, you're in it through thick and thin. If you're going to go to that point, get married. Rachel, you're the only person on this podcast right now who is married. That's what you sign up for, the good times and the bad. You're not just
that's right.
Out the door the moment that your partner starts being a dickhead.
Are you patient like Marge, Ray?
I don't need to be because I've trained my husband very well.
Ah, or he was just a good stock to begin with.
No, exactly. he was. He's always been amazing, and he continues to be amazing. So.
There we are.
See, yeah, I don't need to have patience this guy's winning. With him.
Nice work.
Very nice. Back to you, Rachel, for your number six.
Number six, Leia and Han.
Ooh, classic.
Thank you. Yes, they are. I mean, they're both badasses, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And they respect each other for it. You know, I just love the whole, I love you, I know.
Oh, it's I love you, I know is great.
Simple. Their love, it's understated. It's quietly confident. You know, they don't expect one another to change. Even when, like, Han clearly has some growing up to do. That's all right. She doesn't push him. You know, she lets him come to that conclusion on his own. You know,
yeah.
And they're probably more so similar than they'd like to admit. And obviously, if you've seen all of the Star Wars films, you know that they have like a lifetime of love. So that's great.
Sort of. Well, they do. They have the falling out after Jedi, and then they have to come back for whatever.
It's not the happiest ending, but then again, not all my couples have happy endings either. So.
You know how
well,
it is.
I mean, you know, when they say till death do you part, then, you know.
I know. They didn't quite make it.
No, but... I don't mean in terms of death. I mean, they weren't together when that happened.
Yeah,
so. No, but they still clearly loved each other. They still held a love and a mutual respect for each
mutual
other
respect.
Through all of it.
Yeah, like
a connection.
Because they got a kid together and stuff like that. I totally get that. Yeah. No, I mean,
once you have kids together, you are joined forever, regardless whether you want to be or not.
He's cool.
Exactly.
Exactly. He's cool because the I know shit. You know, you can get geek wedding rings, which have in each band "I love you" and the other one says "I know," and it's like in this Star Wars, they're fucking great. I mean, I you know. Yeah, they're cool.
Patsy, don't look at the inside of your wedding ring.
You got to do that, man. It's all good. It's all good. It'd be great. This is going to happen. Fantastic. Nice choice, Rach.
Very nice. All right.
My number six is Wesley and Buttercup, and it's just because I couldn't not put him on the goddamn list, okay?
What the hell? Are you... No!
Okay, so...
No!
Your bullshit
no!
sound does not tip me off as to what you're thinking.
No!
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
From The Princess Bride, huh? So you guys, is it on your list, Ray?
I kicked them off my list.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you see, this is... All right, look. I mean, Paul obviously has a lot more to say about this, but that whole thing is simply because this is what I think as a child who saw it, and I still think it now. This relationship is hot, okay?
Yep.
She's a beautiful princess girl. He's like the good-looking farmhand who she's all trying to command and is secretly looking at his ass. And then, like, he totally knows it, and he's giving her this knowing smile. And anytime she treats him mean, he's like,
wish.
As you wish, because he knows she's wishing for some dick! So that's why this is a cool-ass thing the whole time. I always liked it. And then, of course, he becomes the Dread Pirate Cracker, right?
Roberts.
And then Roberts, right? And then it's actually cool and on. So even better. But she doesn't know who he is for some reason until he busts out his mask. So I like the whole thing. Obviously.
I don't have a lot more to say, really.
Yeah.
I think you've nailed it, particularly when you sung dick. But my exact note I wrote to myself when I was doing this last night about midnight was, how could this not be on your list? Rachel.
Because Rachel knows more about fucking couples, I think. She's kind of bumped.
I did have them. Like, when I was initially writing down all of the cool couples I could think of, obviously Wesley and Buttercup were there. And then I started thinking a little more deeply about it. And I was like, well, she just doesn't seem like she's that into him.
She's a bit of a bitch, I must say. Like,
She's totally a bitch to him. And he does so – it's very one-sided.
Scorching.
Practically to the ends of the earth for her, and she's just like, oh yeah, he's pretty cool.
Ain't
like,
that just I'll a lady though? I mean,
my point is,
but, like, whatever.
Super attractive women don't exactly generally make it easy.
Yes,
for the
no, they don't.
Guy.
They put through. They put shit in your way. They make you work for it. Then you got to be proven. All kinds of shit.
This is,
this is a
life.
Myth, guys.
You haven't lived our lives.
Think over here. Yeah. Okay.
It's a myth.
It's a myth? Really? Because I can tell you from this end, it seems like y'all just be testing us. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think.
I think you're looking at the wrong women.
That could be the case.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. All right. Back around to you, Rachel, then, for the top half lists, number five.
Okay. Number five are in the top half.
Wait, that was yours.
No,
sorry, Rachel, it was me. I've jumped in. I've missed my six.
Paul's not.
Oh,
because apparently I can't count to three and rotate around because that was your six.
That's right. Yeah, so that means it's you next.
My six, sorry. My apologies. My six is also from Buffy. It's Willow and Tara.
Fair enough.
First of all, the most important thing about this is that we had on a mainstream show representation for the first time, as far as I'm aware, on a show that was mainstream. Like, you know,
big news at the time.
Might have had the, you know, odds going on in the background and you know, gay relationships on that show, but it wasn't the same big mega hit that Buffy was. So for Joss Whedon, for all the rumors we hear about him now, clearly that was a big thing that he pushed to the front. And I think that was wonderful. Mm. And the way that their relationship came together, you know, not in an awkward kind of forced manner.
No.
But in a really lived-in kind of way that Tara is gay and Willow wasn't, but then realized over time that she had developed feelings for her friend.
Yeah.
And then it became very, very naturally sort of put together. And then, of course, it's Tara's death, which sends Willow over to the dark side and makes her the big bad of season, I want to say, 6.
Yeah.
So
I think that Tara's death was one of the first times that I cried watching a TV show.
Really? Yeah, no, it was a big, it was massive at the time. And you know what? As I recall, the way they actually pulled, like the way this came to light is that through the season, you had these scenes where it looks like you weren't quite sure as an audience member where we were together or not. You're just like, they seem a bit familiar. And then eventually she says it and Giles off screen says, bloody hell, when she finally says that.
Well, and also the fact that Buffy didn't blink an eye. It's like, yeah, whatever. If you're happy, great.
Oh,
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
And that acceptance and no one jumped up and down and made a big deal about it. Again, we're talking about 2002, 2003.
That's because we thought it was cool, Paul.
Think beyond your dick, Wayne. I know it's hard.
I'm saying the thing that I genuinely thought it was cool. I was like, well, there's a plot development. Ooh, you know, it's cool. So, yeah.
So, anyway, that's why it made 6 on my list.
Nice one.
Now I'll throw to Rachel for the top half of her list.
Okay, top half of my list. Number 5, Noah and Allie from The Notebook.
Ah.
Never seen it.
Okay, wait a minute. I have a friend who has a t-shirt that he wears to bars, and it says, "Attention, ladies, I saw The Notebook and loved it." That's what it says.
How much play does he get?
I'll be honest with you. Women do call on him, which is basically, they're not necessarily cracking onto him, but because he makes contact because of the shirt, he doesn't have to do that much work.
Right.
You know, so I guess it works, is what I'm saying.
I would talk to a guy that wore a t-shirt.
You know what I'm saying?
It's fellas, a conversation starter at the very least.
Fellas out there, go get that t-shirt and tap away.
And thank the countdown.
Thank Rachel. Thank Rachel. If you got my recommendation, you still wouldn't do it.
It's endorsement from a woman.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, tell us about this Notebook, Ryan Gosling, Rachel McAdams thing. Is it
Look,
the bomb?
Look, their love story, it's totally epic. It overcomes distance, time, hot wounded soldiers, Alzheimer's. I initially didn't want to rank them this high.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it, and they didn't have the smoothest of stories. And, you know, she was really annoying. She's still really annoying. But their story is absolutely iconic. And the fact that they went through all of this, you know, meme-worthy shit.
Very meme-worthy.
So to me, when I think of Noah and Allie, I'm not thinking about Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling. I'm thinking about that adorable couple at the end.
Mm.
You know, and it's really all about him and his love for her. And then, you know, when she has Alzheimer's. And he goes every day and he tells her their love story.
Oh. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that
so
actually
he goes
is pretty.
To visit her. She's old and she's like in a home, and he goes there every day and tells her the story of how they got together. And then it's kind of like a 50 first dates thing where she like suddenly remembers who she is and their whole life together and how in love with him she is. And, you know, it's just beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's a beautiful story.
That's actually pretty awesome sounding. I did not know actually that's how it went. All I have seen is those memes where it's like every dinner time with my girlfriend, and then it's the shot of Ryan Gosling. Like, what do you want? What do you want?
My kids every day. I still haven't figured out how to make I don't know or I don't care.
Yeah, look, I think that's a very popular choice, as we'll hear in the list of feedback later as well. So well played there, Rachel.
Nice one.
Wayne.
Nice, thank you.
Cool. Rachel, I'm about to say some old man shit. Just roll with it, okay? My number 5 is David and Maddie from a TV show called Moonlighting.
Yeah, okay, I would have had this on my shortlist for
really?
Years.
Yep. Do you know Moonlighting, Rach?
No, what is
it? Okay, so check it out. It's Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd. It was a TV show that ran from like 1985 to 1989, all right? And it was considered to be one of the first successful, influential examples of comedy drama, okay? And it involves David Addison, who's Bruce Willis. He's like the lead person in a detective agency, which is owned by Maddie Hayes, which is Cybill Shepherd. Long story short, she has to come back and she works there even though she owns it. And they have this adventures together as detective couples, kind of. But, yeah, but this is Bruce Willis's introduction into mainstream everything.
Pre-Die Hard.
So he was acting.
Wow.
Yeah, and his character is a lot like Peter Venkman from Ghostbusters. It's that wisecracky guy. And it goes like, I was very invested in this couple. And at the crescendo of Will They, Won't They, she actually hooks up with the dude from CSI, Mark Harmon. Right? I know, back when they were all young. It's really cool to watch.
The Presidio Mark Harmon.
That's right. Hot Mark Harmon. And he's playing an astronaut. What? So, yeah.
What hope did David have?
I know, right? He's just fucking Bruce Willis. So, anyway. For me, it was TV pairing couple goals. And when I saw it as a lad, I just loved it. So, yeah. David and Maddie from Moonlighting, if anyone out there is as old as me.
Which I am. I never watched the show, but I know of your affection for it.
Yes. You know of it, yeah. Great theme song.
It's...
Moonlight together. Is algebra. I don't know what that is.
We're gonna make it together.
Oh, actually, that was a separate one that they did over the end credits.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Anyway, please, okay. Go on, Paulie.
My number five, then, is a little bit more contemporary than that, but still, in a weird way, it was quite a number of years ago, but has just wrapped up, literally, last year.
Interesting.
I'm talking from Veronica Mars. I'm talking Veronica and Logan Eccles from that show.
Oh, cute.
You know this? I don't know Veronica Mars that well.
No. Oh, yeah. You never watched it, right?
I watched like the first half of the season and I wanted to do more, but never did. Oh, okay.
You missed out, man.
Really?
Yeah, missed out.
I heard a lot about this show.
Have you watched it, Rach?
Yes.
Yeah. Look, I don't know what you think about this, but they were initially slated to be antagonist characters. He was really harsh to her. And in the first couple of episodes, there's some flashbacks to what he did to her before the show started in terms of just being a complete C-note. Right.
Yeah, he's horrible to her.
And you think that this is the guy that's going to be her foil, is going to be horrible. And she was meant to be with, I think, Teddy. That was meant to be the character that she was going to be off and on with all through the show. But the chemistry between these two, it's obviously Kristen Bell, and his name's Jason Doring, is off the charts. And so Rob Thomas, the
Matchbox Singer 20. Yeah.
No. Sorry, not sorry. No. Rob Thomas, the creator of the show, is here showing it. Well, I gotta work this on the fly because they're too good together. I've got to work it in. And they became this on-again, off-again item throughout the three seasons of the show.
And you enjoyed their couplehood.
Yeah, when they got together, you're like, yeah! But then very quickly the plot would move to, like, they would jump forward to the next season and now they're not together type stuff. And we've seen flashbacks how it didn't happen. And that. So it never gave you the satisfaction of them being together for very long. Until we got all the way through to the most recent season, which was just last year, where they had spent 5 years together and he's the one pushing for marriage and she's being resistant for all the reasons that she has.
Oh, what a pussy.
And vote for Wayne. Doesn't like marriage.
Fine. Just not for me, that's all.
Point being, I won't spoil it because it goes places that are extremely unpredictable, but these two are just so awesome. In fact, their, you know, cute couple name is... Love, L-O, capital V-E, because it's Logan and Veronica.
Yeah.
And that's enough to put it up into my fifth spot. Pretty happy with that one. No one picked this.
Speaking of those couple names, right, my number nine, Katniss and Peter.
Yeah.
What is their couple name is Penis.
Well, you know what? Paul's fiance's first name is Patsy, and his name is Paul. So their couple name is just Patsy. So there you go. All right.
Yeah, fair enough.
Nice one. Rach, back to you.
Number four is Baby and Johnny from Dirty Dancing.
Oh, Paul's going to love this. Paul is going to love this.
What? No.
My sister was a huge fan, and as a result, I know Dirty Dancing very well. Please go on.
Patrick Swayze and his moves are enough. It's enough.
I understand.
I don't need to say more.
I know.
No, they've got that gorgeous dynamic again. It's like the rich girl, the poor boy, and they teach each other about life and love and dancing and back alley abortions.
Yes.
It's like the summer romance film.
Totally.
Like Grease or any of those other romance films, they can fight me. Dirty Dancing, they've got it. They do the fucking lift.
The lift.
I love it.
Look, let's face it. The lift is pretty pimp. Crazy Stupid Love is a whole scene like that. Very, very good. I don't know what you're doing. What I'm hearing is murmuring like a bitch.
Rachel got it. Fuck you.
What did you? Oh, Oh, you're doing Bill Medley. Oh, I got it now.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. You got it now. Cunt.
Rach, when you saw this the first time, because this predates you, this show.
No, it came out the year I was born.
Oh, I'm sorry. You saw it when you were one. Got it. No, it was zero.
You saw it when you were zero. I've really been watching it since I was a newborn.
Did you, so you bought the Jennifer Grey, Patrick Swayze relationship, yes? No?
Yeah, they hated each other though, didn't they?
They did. The thing that was happening when I was a kid and everyone was talking about it is like, why would Patrick Swayze go out with that big nose heaven woman? Right, that's what everyone would say.
Because she had the money.
That's... Well, yeah, the dad was a doctor. I don't know. See, that's the cynical dude shit that happens when
you're smart and sweet and earnest and kind.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You know, it was very nice of Patrick Swayze.
And she had Ferris Bueller as a brother.
She did.
That's right.
I thought it was very nice that Patrick Swayze told the doctor, her dad, like, oh, I'm responsible for this woman who got knocked up, even though he didn't even put a load in her. He was just trying to be nice and give her someone to have. That was very cool. It was very cool. I understand why you like him.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was so that Penny wouldn't lose her job because Penny was boning the waiter.
That's right. And he's the one who fucked off. Pretty nasty. Mm-hmm. That's how it is with these guys. All right. Good call.
Thank you.
In the corner here. Okay. My number four is freaking Scully and Mulder, man. Freaking Scully and Mulder. Right? Because I cared so much whether they'd get together in the X-Files. I saw this shit back on video, old man. And then,
so they did actually get together then?
They did, and they got together.
Did I have a kid or something?
In the end, in the very, very late seasons.
I tuned out with three or four seasons to go.
Did you watch up to the movie?
Yes.
Okay, because at the movie, they hadn't actually got together.
But they kissed in the movie or something?
No, they were about to kiss, and then Gillian Anderson got bitten by a fucking bee. It was a real harsh little thing. And then, here's the thing, though. They were way more playful in the movie. She's like, I got you big time. Like, not like, so they're way more about to bone kind of shit. There was actual sexual tension.
Yes.
And Gillian Anderson, have you seen her lately? She still looks fucking amazing. Yeah, I don't even know what kind of vampire.
Aged very well.
Crazy, right? And I remember this bit. In the movie, Mulder saw her naked because he had to save her from some facility where she poured out of this like vat thing and she was naked. And I was like, hey, he saw her naked. But then he quickly puts a coat on her. I thought it was very like sweet.
Respect.
Like it was
chivalrous.
Yeah. I don't know. Any real man would do that. But point is, he's actually seen her naked. And at the time, we were waiting for them to be naked together. So it was one step closer. You know what I'm saying? You like it, like Rach, right?
I love it. I love that they were like the first couple that I was like, oh my God, will they, won't they?
Right.
Won't they? And they didn't for so long. It was great.
Originally written that they would never be together. Chris Carter never wanted them to be together. He eventually bowed to pressure from the fans.
Dude, we need some of that Fox Scully slamming shit. Yes.
Folder.
Folly?
Folder.
Folly. They'd be Folly. That'd be their couple name. there you go. Nice one.
Yeah, you're right. That's a better nickname there. All right. My number four also features Patrick Swayze.
What?
It's Sam Wheaton, Molly Jensen, more importantly, from Ghost.
Aww.
What the fuck? You've never seen Ghost?
Fuck you, yes I
fuck
have.
Fuck you, you didn't
any
see
time, and my... made an indelible impression on me.
Suck my dick!
How many of us? How many of us are engaged to be married? Hands up. Hands up in the room. I'll let you know, ladies and gentlemen, only one hand has gone up in this room.
That makes you the fucking loser as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, a vote for Wayne is a vote not for marriage, love, or anything that it goes with this topic. This love goes beyond death, man.
I like it. I'm just like, I'm surprised you do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, the pottery thing, that was cool. I understand how that's all
that
good
stuff's
and shit.
Cool. Even, like, God forbid, even I'll admit this now, even Unchained Melody isn't the worst song I ever heard.
Are you kidding me? You're unlike, telling me you don't mind it?
Unlike I've Had the Time of My Life, which remains the worst song I've ever heard.
How rude. Yeah.
Whoop his ass, Rachel. So that's...
But their whole back and forth, that whole thing, and he comes back and he saves her, and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And yeah, it makes the heart swell.
Well,
I love that moment where Oda Mae, Whoopi Goldberg's character, is trying to convince Sam that she's... Molly, that she's talking...
To Sam, yeah.
To Sam. Oh. And they're like arguing with each other, and it looks like she's just kind of arguing with herself. And then she comes out with ditto, ditto. He says to say ditto.
Oh, and yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Because at the very end, he finally says it, right?
He does. Yes. Cause I know. And what kind of men, like, with a ditto? You know what I mean? Yeah, no one can actually say
that. You don't get away with that 1990.
You could, if you try that shit now, you get your ass dittoed, man. Like, and you know what's the best?
But not the way Wayne likes.
But it would also be like nowadays, people would be like, why the fuck are you calling me a Pokemon?
Is ditto a Pokemon?
Yeah.
I actually got that. The best bit, the bit that made me happy with this movie is at the end when the light comes and he actually decides to go and he's like, you take it all with you, Molly, right? I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. That's great. It's very cool that you could take that with you. So you're leaving. You're not really leaving. You're happy. That would be comforting. I was a big fan.
Oh, yeah. She knows now that one day she'll be with him again. That's as good as it gets after that point.
Unless there's some kind of swingers party in heaven. And then like, she turns up and it's like, yo.
He's got a few years to sow his seed.
Yeah, but then he might be like, you know what? I like this better. That's right. Not dirty enough.
Once again, Wayne, fucking
I
up
am sorry.
On this brief / topic. Moving on to Rachel's number three.
My number three is Molly and Arthur Weasley.
Who are they?
From Harry Potter.
Yeah, we haven't seen it.
Look, I've seen some. Now tell me again, because I saw it a little while ago. Molly and who's that? Molly is who?
Okay, so Molly and Arthur, this is a little bit of a Harry Potter curveball, because when people think of Harry Potter, they're going to think of like the main trio, like Harry, Ron, Hermione.
Yeah.
But this is Ron's parents.
Oh, yes. I remember
them
now.
Yeah, they're background couple. They're probably the most solid couple ever.
I would agree,
actually. They have seven kids. They're poor as fuck.
Yeah, they have no choice but to be together.
But they just make shit work. They make it work. And they were and are in the Order of the Phoenix, which is like this rebellion type organization that fights against the dark wizards. So they're total badasses as well. They understand each other deeply. They're each eccentric in their own way. They go through everything together. They lose a child, but they still stick together. I mean, that's Molly and Arthur are like couple goals.
What number movie is Order of the Phoenix?
Order of Phoenix is number five.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to it yet. I just now realized that they turned into badasses. Is that what you said?
They've always been badasses, because even before
Harry Potter starts.
Like in the war beforehand, they were in this organization called the Order of the Phoenix, and it like resurges
in
the fifth one, and they're still in it.
You've seen this one?
Yeah. No, I've seen the Phoenix one, but I've seen up to the Alfonso Cuarón Harry Potter.
Oh, so you've seen Prisoner the third one.
Yeah, the third one. Yeah, yeah. So that's Okay. No, I do plan on getting to all of these, especially since I hear you guys talk about it all the time. So, you know. That's cool. Nice.
Very nice. Uh-huh. Cool.
My number three is Jon Snow in Ygritte.
Oh, God.
Okay. Now, apparently you don't agree with
you
this one.
You know nothing, Wayne Aruzu.
Thank you. Thank you. That's good. Let me tell you what's going on here, people. Okay, so I did read the books, and I know we're not doing the books.
I know. It's amazing. Wayne read some books.
I know. I read some books.
That is worth celebrating.
I know. It's huge. It never happens. And then I see it in the show. Now, first of all, I adore Ygritte. What's her name? Leslie something.
They're married. Well, engaged
Rose
in real life.
Leslie.
Rose Leslie. That's right. Big fan of hers. And the Jon Snow relationship with them, sure, it starts snarky. Sure, it starts bitey and weird and stuff. But then it gets very naked in a cave somewhere. And
life goals.
But I do believe, because she's still that you-know-nothing Jon Snow thing, there is, again, here's a non-lame couple, okay? Because the love that they have is probably, like, it's his first pork, right? And
do you reckon when he had his first pork, he was...
Oh, God, fuck off. Yeah! The whole thing of the whole time. What is wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Well, look, the tragic thing with this thing, and the fact that he had to cap her at the end or whatever. Actually, he didn't cap her. She got capped. And then the last thing she said to him was,
In the books, he killed. No,
what happened was he found...
In the TV show, he killed her.
No, in the TV show, the boy killed her.
Oh, the boy did. You're right. Yeah. Yes.
So, but the fact that she died at all after being on the opposing side, and she let him escape by only shooting him in the leg and stuff like that. Very, very... It's actually love doesn't conquer all, but it's still there kind of thing. That's why I like Jon Snow.
Weird and morbid, but okay, if that's where you want your number three to be.
You don't like it, do you, Rach?
No. Yes and no. I don't like Ygritte.
You don't like you, yeah, I understand.
No, I just find her annoying. And I just think that she's really rough and a little bit gross. But she's like not saying that she's ugly, but just
no, she's definitely a little bit gross because that's the whole point. He's this like, yeah, you know, highborn, and then it's like this
and
wild
I kind of
woman.
Feel like if it weren't for their circumstance, they would have never been together. Which to me isn't a great tragedy. You know, it's like, oh, but if you know, wow, isn't it so amazing that they met? I don't feel that way. It's just kind of like, well, they were together because they were together for so long and traveling all that way. And, you know, she was like, I'm going to bone this guy in a cave.
But that's how bone happens.
You're thrown yeah, that is how bone happens. Yeah. It's not necessarily how true love happens, you know. And yeah, I just feel okay. like that yeah. their love perhaps probably in... wouldn't have evolved that way had it not been for the fact that he was stuck north of the wall for so many years.
I have an exclusive here for the listening audience and you as well, Rach, because you can't see our faces. But basically, if I had to give voice to Wayne's face as you were talking, it was this.
Fuck off. Honestly, honestly, the crowbar is ridiculous. I'm going to stop talking about this now so you don't do any more sounds. Your turn, Slurry.
My number three is from Scrubs. And it's not JD and Elliot, it's Turk and Carla.
No, that's fair enough.
Because they are consistent AF and they get into each other early on the very first season and they're together the whole way through and have a family. And he's totally into her and she's totally into him. And it's beautiful and amazing and life goals, couple goals right there. Bam. Thank you very much. Moving on to Rachel's number two.
Well, hang on. Yeah. Point of contention.
Bring it, girl.
She kind of bosses him around a bit.
Yeah. Pussy whipped. Paul likes that shit. I told you.
I was going to say, doesn't this further the point that you like to be pussy whipped?
Apparently. Yeah.
This guy's apparently. Got all kinds of shit going on.
No, he's smart enough to realize he's batting out of his league.
He's not batting out of his league. She's batting out of her league.
Look, because he can dance.
Fuck off. If a man can dance, that shit is automatically points, man. I've seen this shit. I've felt this shit.
I've also been listening to a lot of the Scrubs podcast, and Donna Faison talking about how Carla and like, he'd be like, oh my God, she's so amazing, and da 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 da. If Donald Faison's down with it, I'm down with it.
He's doing a podcast, bitch. You don't think he's maybe putting that on him?
Because they're talking really honestly. Like, there's episodes where he says, he like, this show wasn't very funny. This episode was not very funny. I laughed once and shit like that. So,
yeah, but he's not going to rag on someone else. I'm just saying, look.
And
look,
they still have it. He still has his moments. He's still a kid. Like, it is a traditional kind of the man is less mature than the woman thing.
That's fine.
She tolerates his shit. Like, come on. What
she's
about
reaching, not him. I would tell you that right now. Okay? Oof. Don't even worry about
I,
it.
I would put them on par.
On par?
Yeah, I don't think either of them are batting.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, for me, it's a clear mismatch.
Oh.
Her favor. So.
In her, well, right. You're saying she's, okay, wow.
Yeah.
There you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Turk is hotter than, what's her name? Carla.
Yeah, Judy Reyes.
Yeah, okay.
All right, moving on. Number twos.
Rach.
My number two was Jake and Amy from...
No!
Or if you prefer...
I stand resolute, motherfucker!
We don't prefer.
Shut up. Okay. Nice pick. Very good.
Do you want to say anything more about it, Rachel? Have you got
it? I don't think I need to. I said everything I wanted to say, so go Peraltiago. I love it.
Peraltiago.
That's good.
But some plebs would have gone with the first names to mix them together, but not Rach.
No,
and it worked way better. It worked way better. Nice one. Well, my number two actually is Ross and Rachel.
Oh, wow.
Okay. No. Wow.
Yo, they're each other's lobsters, okay? And what?
Wayne just quoted from his least liked character in that show.
Who?
Phoebe.
Oh, fuck her. I hate Phoebe, okay? But Ross being, as I said, the funny guy still, all right? Point to the episode where Ross is doing an English accent. Always my favorite. And the whole back and forth with them. Yes, it's messy. Yes, they have a kid. Yes, they're not together. Yes, weird shit happens. Yes, they get sort of married and then they don't. But at the end of the series where she gets off that plane to Paris because she realizes she needs to stay with Ross, that shit's all worth it, man. And Friends, best sitcom ever.
Oh,
I don't know, man. I think it's the best sitcom ever. It endures. I still watch it now. I got a 15-year-old niece who loves it. All right?
Wayne, but were they on a break?
Yes, they were on a break. So they were absolutely on a break. She said, let's not.
Hot damn!
You can pork on a break. I think that's what it means. I think that's what it means.
Rachel, were they on a break?
No, they were on a break.
Okay. They're on a break. See, I'm saying.
They were on a break. Rachel needs to calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
I tend to agree.
I totally agree.
I was just trying to create some
I know what you were trying to
but,
do, bitch.
Yeah, that, I wouldn't say the royal. Yeah, I get where you're coming. They eventually wind up together, and you and me, we're doing this right. Yes, that's a nice moment at the end.
Wouldn't it be great?
Very Rocky. Even rockier than Veronica and Logan. And
hugely. This is number two. But it came in. This is the couple I. It's not couple goals, although that first season or second season where they got together, that whole thing was couple goals.
But when
for
the Italian guy came, what was his name?
Paolo. Yeah, I remember that.
I should remember that.
Yeah, I know. I've seen every episode of Friends like 100 times. All right, just forget about it. It's back through the log, yeah, and I love
see,
it.
I can see why this is here. Doesn't surprise me. Although I do think that you got undermined a little bit by Monica and Chandler, so I'm being on Rachel's list.
I understand why that is, because that would probably be a runner-up for me, because I love Chandler so much, or loved him so much, but Ross is the guy for me. So, you know, what are you going to do? What do you say, Polly?
This is where I had number two.
Which is?
Wesley and Buttercup.
Very high, but I understand.
Bride.
Cool.
Get out of there.
Like I said, very, very high for me. Because this is, okay, here's the story, Rach. You wouldn't have heard this before, and some of the listeners have heard snippets of it, maybe on the patrons only. I got chicken pox when I was 13 years old. No, 12, just turning 13, give or take, year 8. And my mum brought home two films from the video store to watch and said, you're watching these because I want to watch them and you're home and I've got nothing else to do. So we watched Princess Bride and Dirty Dancing in the same day.
Oh, see. Aww. See what happened here?
One of those films is one of my most revered, loved films of all time, i.e. Wesley.
This is what happened with Dirty Dancing, okay?
Dirty
by comparison,
Dancing,
it hit it for.
By comparison, was one of the biggest pieces of shit, which I could not believe my mum made me sit
okay,
and watch it.
Let's just say that as a 13-year-old yes. guy, yes. I would not expect you to enjoy Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, that's right.
But as a 13-year-old boy is the right word, I managed to not only enjoy but love The Princess Bride to this point where I'm trying to convince my 7-year-old daughter to watch it and she's being oddly resistant.
Let's not teach her to be
so rude and tell her to just get her shit together and watch it. My 7-year-old boy has watched it.
There you go. And did he love it?
He loves it.
That's enough. I'm just going to play that part
fighting,
there.
Man, the sword fighting is
it's got everything. Fencing, fighting, giants, true romance. Blah, 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 all the rest of it.
All that. We got it.
Yeah, all right, that's my number two. All right, so Rach, can you run us back through your 10 through 2 and then give us your number one?
Okay, so my 10 through 2, we have Jack and Ennis from Brokeback Mountain, Katniss and Peter from The Hunger Games, Marshall and Lily from How I Met Your Mother, Monica and Chandler from Friends, Leia and Han of Star Wars fame, Noah and Ellie from The Notebook, Baby and Johnny from Dirty Dancing, Molly and Arthur Weasley from Harry Potter, Jake and Amy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
And my number one couple.
Here it is.
Carl and Ellie from Up.
Oh, good call.
Yes. Good call. Gee, you only get 5 minutes with them, but what are 5 minutes? But please.
That thing is heartbreaking.
Yeah, that first few minutes of Up has provided us with a love story that, like, it just has a grasp on my little heart so hard. You know, they met as kids. You see them growing up together, growing in love with each other. They have all these dreams, goals, aspirations. You watch them navigate through all of these difficulties, like their finances, their health, giving up their dreams to have a family. And then they, you know, love each other all the way through it. And we can see that Carl isn't perfect. We see that Ellie's depression takes a toll on both of them. And ultimately, that prologue and the rest of the movie is a testament to this true, undying, steady, stable, healthy, normal love and marriage.
True.
There's great nothing pick. More to say.
I think I cried a bit when I saw that.
I have a second honorable mention.
I can't watch it without crying. I even hear the song that plays through it and I'm just like, oh God, I can't.
That whole movie.
It's so beautiful.
Totally.
I've never seen a film open so well and crash so hard.
You reckon? You don't like it?
The rest of that film is bog standard average.
What about the dogs?
Yeah, exactly.
The playing behind that though is the fact that he wants to get to Paradise Falls for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is all good. Fucking Paul. I don't know what to do. I don't even know. All right. That's the bomb. Nice work.
I think most people would agree the first 5 to 10 minutes of Up is the superior part.
But that's because you don't expect it to be hit you right in the heart like that in 5 minutes.
Which is unlike a Pixar film normally where it builds to it and it hits you later, like bing bong in Inside Out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
True.
I couldn't believe that they had the whole thing like with her being unable to have kids and going through a miscarriage and everything.
It makes it really real, especially
like
for a kid's
show. Right there.
Yeah, the only film, this is weird out there, you know, left field sort of comment, but the only other film I can think of that does it even half as well in the first 5-10 minutes is Searching with John Cho.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good...
That
yeah.
sort of social yeah, yeah, media yeah. version thereof. Mm. It's not as good as Up, but it's in the...
No, you know, for a B-grade movie, whatever, yeah. it's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
All right, thank you, Rach. Wayne.
Good call. My 10 to 2 is 10, Eric and Donna from That 70s Show. Number 9, Blaine and Kurt from Glee. 8, Joan and Jack from Romancing the Stone. 7, Michael Cera, Kat Dennings that no one agrees with. number 6, Wesley and Buttercup. Number 5, David and Maddie from Moonlighting. 4, Scully and Mulder. 3, Jon Snow and Ygritte. 2, Ross and Rachel. And my number 1, everyone, I've talked about this movie a little bit. The movie's Out of Sight. I think yes. it's the sexiest movie that ever got happening made ever. Karen Sisko played by J-Lo and Jack Foley played by George Clooney. He's a bank robber. She's a U.S. Marshal. She's going after him, but then she catches him and they actually kind of get this odd attraction thing when they glimpse at each other through the air, whatever. Finally, they end up taking a timeout where they turn up in a casino hotel lobby.
Don't they get locked in a trunk together? Isn't that where it all starts? The magic starts happening?
He escapes from prison and takes her as sort of a hostage, and she could have shot him, but she didn't. Even though she only knew him for like a second, she could have shot him. He knocked the gun out of the way. Normally, she's better than that, right? So there's an attraction there initially, right? And then it becomes this night off where they actually meet and have a drink and have this cool conversation and then bone and then like have to come back out. And the way it works out, fantastic. This is pure chemistry. And I've always said perfect date movie. Perfect date movie.
All right.
Increases
yeah,
your...
Yeah, I would have picked that one for sure. Yeah.
So there you go. One guy.
That's a totally you pick, and I'm 100% behind it. Well done, sir.
Have you seen Out of Sight, Rachel?
I haven't, but now I kind of want to.
No, you got to see the show. It is so cool.
Worth it, for sure.
It's really great.
All right.
Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah, watch it with your husband and thank Wayne later.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's cool.
All right, that leads it to me then to reveal my number one, if Wayne won't drop anything more on the floor.
Sorry, slut.
Okay, kicking off with my number 10, Buffy and... Well, actually, Spike and Buffy, let's be honest. That's the way it should be. Number 9... Jake Peralta and Amy Santiago from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. 8, Harry and Sally from When Harry Met Sally. 7, Marge and Homer Simpson from, of course, The Simpsons. 6, Willow, and Tara from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. 5, Veronica Mars and Logan Eccles from Veronica Mars. 4, Sam and Molly from Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
3, Turk and Carla from Scrubs. Number 2, Wesley and Buttercup from The Princess Bride. And my number 1... Without a doubt, no question, Detective Nick Curran and Catherine Tramell from Basic Instinct. Oh, yes. No, I'm joking.
Oh, I see.
I'm joking.
What is your problem? What? Well, who hurt you?
Of course, I'm not going with that. It was worth it just for Wayne's face.
What a bitch. Okay, who is it really?
My number one is clearly, it's... All geeks of the world unite behind this choice. It's Chuck and Sarah from the TV show Chuck.
What a terrible choice.
Well, I got one reaction and I got Wayne's reaction.
That's cute.
Exactly. Zachary Levi chasing Yvonne Strahovski, who is beautiful and amazing and an accomplished spy in this TV show, whereas he is a dude who works at a store being the tech guy.
Well, he is Shazam, but yes.
No, I know.
Not then he wasn't. I know. I'm actually impressed that Rachel watched Chuck. You like Chuck?
I love Chuck.
Yeah, no, you, Rachel? I actually do like the show as well.
How dare you diss on my choice?
I'm just fucking with you, man. That's how it is. when this movie show came on, Paul said, "Yo, man, there's this show, and the chick on it is fucking hot."
She is.
She's Australian, which just gives her that little bit more edge up.
You're like, yeah, you're like, access.
There's a chance. and of course, you can see her range if you wanted to see what she looks like now / acts like now in The Handmaid's Tale, where she's a total and utter, well, not total, she's a bitch in a world.
Oh, yeah, she's
Serena
the
Joy.
Wife, isn't she?
Yeah, she's incredible. Like her, she's a wonderful actor.
Really?
And you wouldn't think of her watching this show.
This looks like a WB show.
You wouldn't think of her from this show, but then you see her in Handmaid's Tale, and now you realize, fuck, she's got some chops.
What about the director, man? She has cute teeth.
I actually think the teeth is what's wrong. The teeth?
Really?
Yeah, I was just taken aback by her teeth.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's a flaw about her, which makes it kind of accessible.
You know, there's a Japanese word for this. It's called wabi, and it means a single flaw creating a more elegant whole.
Oh, interesting. So wasabi is many flaws creating really hot.
No, that's just some shit. Some shit someone tricks you into eating, and then you fucking shit for a month. No, this is... no, but I think, yeah, but I like girls with crooked teeth if it still works. You know what I mean? Sense. That's a thing, yeah.
But he's totally out of his league.
And so he should be.
Well, yeah, because...
For a TV show.
he wins her over with his heart and his charm, and that then they eventually get married, and they're the real deal. They're not just this, oh, she's being nice to him. They are. This is couple goals. Doesn't matter who it is, as long as you have that real connection. That's what matters, and that's why they're my number one.
Superman was in that show.
He was Brandon Routh. He was a bad guy at one point.
He was cool.
Yeah, a seemingly good guy who became a bad guy.
And he's Shazam.
Yes!
God goes on to be. So wonderful to see him again in that role. But all right, look, we're running a bit long, so let's just have one honorable mention each.
Okay.
Rach, have you got any honorable mentions, or were you struggling a little bit number 10?
No. Oh, God, I had so many honorable mentions.
What was your biggest one? The one that you really wish you could have squeezed in?
Okay. Well, first of all, me and my husband, and the reason why we're only an honorable mention is because we're not in TV or movies that you can get.
But very sweet.
Wonderful. And just ensuring that you get Jake's vote at this week.
Yeah, that's right.
I think he's going to agree with me.
Yeah, yeah. That fucking bitch didn't even say me. No, yeah, me and my hubby. But okay, so I'm going to say the iconic Romeo and Juliet. Okay. You can't make a list of couples without mentioning them.
Are you talking about like Leo?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Leo. Okay, cool. Fair enough. Nice one.
And then I had Zoe and Wash from Firefly.
Oh, Firefly.
Yeah, that was very
close
to my list too.
That's a good call.
Yeah, I love Zoe
and
Wash.
Going to have to cut you off there though, Rach.
And Riversong.
Going to have to cut you off there because we're going to end up being here for 2 hours. give you two. Wayne, give us one honorable mention.
Pacey and Andy from Dawson's Crack.
I would have thought that. What was on your list for sure?
I didn't think anyone would watch the damn thing. Anyway.
Oh, Wayne pandering. You heard it here first.
Vindication!
That's not pandering. That's called connecting with your audience. So, all right.
Oh, it's funny when it comes out of your mouth. It's connecting to your audience. When it comes out of mine, it's pandering.
Hey, I didn't write the rules. All right.
Mine of 11 is that very man.
Hot damn!
What?
It's the captain and his Kevin. His lover?
Oh, he's got a. I haven't seen that yet. Oh, okay.
What do you mean you haven't seen that? The joke's made in the first episode. I got a gay vibe. What are you talking about? No one thought he was gay.
Yeah, but I've never seen his.
Turns out they're actually gay. And awesome.
I haven't seen his partner.
Really?
No, I'm sure I haven't.
They're amazing. They're perfectly complimentary to each other. It's just wonderful. Huh. They go to the ends of the world and back for each other to the point of, like, he will sacrifice himself to save Kevin at various points in the show. And then, of course,
it's pretty heavy for a sitcom. Okay.
Yeah, no, this show goes some weirdly. All right.
I'll have to keep watching.
In fact, they're not going to do another season until they work out whether they can do another season after the whole Black Lives Matter thing. So okay.
I've heard that.
Very socially responsible as a show.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice one.
So that's my number 11, if you will. Okay, and that's it for our list. What about yours? We wrap up every show in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about Pop 10. Talk about.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast, frequent contributor and good friend to the show, Ferris and Sloan from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Nice. Yep. Oh, good one.
Navarre and Isabeau from Lady Hawk.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
That's a bit cool.
Yeah. And you'll be very happy, Wayne. Jack Colton and Joan Wilder from Romancing the Stone.
Nice one.
Sam from the Movie Reviews and 20 Qs Podcast. Jason Piggs and That Pie from American Pie.
Not
Christian Bale and his mirror from American Psycho.
Oh, lovely.
And Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer from Top Gun. some very good ones there. Down Under 2008 said Indiana Jones and Marion Ravenwood, Rocky Balboa and Adrian, and Peter Griffith and Lois Griffith from, I guess, The Family Guy.
Oddly, I don't like that couple.
Oh, really?
He's an asshole. Okay. And there's no way he could get her. Anyway.
From Jason from the Binge Movies Podcast, Troy and Abed from Community. Jason Voorhees and his mother, the incest is implied.
Oh, God.
Gross.
And Molly and Sam from Ghosts. So I'm not sure how to take that one, given the other two choices in that list. From B Dizzle from the We Watch the Thing podcast. I'm going all TV this week. Lawson Clark from Smallville.
Ooh.
Well, that would be a popular one. Dirk and Carla from Scrubs. And Jim and Pam, of course, from The Office in the US.
Oh, nobody put them on the list.
I know,
I've
right?
never seen the show, so I couldn't.
Haven't you?
No.
See, I haven't seen enough of it to know that or feel that, so I'm down.
But there was lots of people who jumped on that particular one.
They're a very, very popular couple.
Mm, yeah.
Dan from Netflix and Swill said the couple, I don't even know the names, Kate Winslet and Jim Carrey from Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I don't know the names either, but I... okay.
Oh, Clementine and
Clementine.
Something.
Oh, very good. Well, nice good pick one. Up. Excellent. Anders Holmes had Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert from It Happened One Night. Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore from A Ghost, and Clint Eastwood and Meryl Streep from The Bridges of Madison County. Over the Facebook community then. To wrap this one up, Kristen Arcaro had Beth and Randall from This Is Us. I don't watch that show.
No, I neither do. Me either.
No,
we're all three. Yeah. Lillian Marshall from How I Met Your Mother. So there you are.
Nice for Ray.
And Claire and Jamie from Outlander.
Do you watch that, Rach?
I don't watch it.
I don't either, but every chick I know does.
Yeah, well, because I've seen pictures of the dude and...
It's all good?
Hello.
Okay. But you still don't watch it, okay.
Hey, you know, women have restraint.
I'll focus my attentions elsewhere.
Fair enough. Luke Alexander said, I've called the missus in this week. Nadia and Jim American Pie. Molly and Sam from Ghost and Ali and Noah from The Notebook. Aww. Which led Bob Ellis to say, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, I thought about them.
Andy and Red. I guess that's is that from The Shawshank Redemption?
Andy Dufresne and...
Is it Red?
I don't know. Okay.
And Harry and Helen. I don't know. Now I've read this one, I've realized I shouldn't have. But I got here for the joke. I obviously did not call on the missus this week.
Not worth it. All right. Let's go.
Last couple. Paul Murphy had Mulder and Scully, Marge and Homer, and Bond and Miss Moneypenny, because all three couples have stood the test of time.
Okay.
No, you never hit that. Right.
And lastly, Blake Jarvis, Jim and Pam from The Office, Andy and April from Parks and Rec, and Rose and Jack from The Titanic, which is not the first and only mention thereof.
Selfish bitch wouldn't let him on the door.
That's right. Why.
Yeah, I kicked
not
him
have...
off my list because of that.
Exactly.
Like, she was a cunt.
Yeah, she's a bit of a hoe. Hey, she was a C. She was. I love that you dropped it on our show. Awesome.
Excellent. Look, last week we did do a bit of promotion for a Countdown prize pack, which we're going to wrap up next week on the show. So you've got one more week to get your vote, your reviews in. We've had 5 new reviews this week. Cool. So all those people are going to the draw.
Keep them coming.
Get on that if you want.
Excellent odds.
Have a chance. Yeah, very good odds at the moment. But before we wrap up the show, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us today.
You rock.
For this particular one.
Thank you for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on and for you to bring such a well-rounded list to what Wayne and I supplied.
Yes!
How do listeners get in touch with your show and indeed tune in to Fangirling?
Well, you can, first of all, add us on Facebook, but then you can also get it from iTunes or from Spotify.
Fangirling. Nice.
Fangirling.
Wayne, how do the listeners get in touch with us to give us their feedback on the show or contribute to lists each week?
Google The Countdown Podcast. You will find us where everywhere or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. Check us out, ccradio.com.au for ourselves, Fangirling, and a bunch of other great Aussie podcasts. And finally, we host on Podbean. Now, Wayne, I haven't told you what happened next week.
What?
But I'm going to tell you right now, because this week was all about you. Next week is all about moi.
Okay, great.
Next week for episode 277, with thanks to David Powell, top-level patron, we're going to be doing the top 10 original music themes from films.
Oh, fuck. All right, guys, you can skip that next week if you want.
No way, that sounds amazing.
Exactly. Wayne is just being his
Is this like themes? Like actually like scores?
Music theme.
Okay.
So, yeah, it has to be. Original music theme. So it has to be a song that's created either score or soundtrack for the film.
Oh, okay, or soundtrack. We can work with that. Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great. Tune in now. Tune in.
Okay. Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
Except when you're not.
Yeah, fair enough. All right,
that's it. Thank you so much today for joining us for episode 276 of The Countdown. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And my name is Rachel.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Oh, fuck off.
You can't handle the truth.
Wayne.
Eat all the dicks.
Occasionally. Wait, what occasionally? He's always wrong.
Eat all the dicks.
Catch you next week.
See ya.
Okay, and that's it for our list. What about yours? We wrap up every show in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Please don't go long on this one.
No, I can't.
Okay. Do like 2.
No, you have to do 10.
No, you do 43 every week.
I do between
48
and
to
17.
200.
You
are roughly 200.
You son
roughly
of a
1,000. You do 1,000. Okay.
I'm putting that in the bloopers at the end just so people know who's the one who's bitching
you
about
do 200,000 every single fucking
everyone
week.
Everyone thinks I'm the cunt on this show.
Oh, you are the cunt.
Behind the scenes, it's all Wayne. Wayne's like, I gotta get my dick wet later. I wanna get out of here.
Oh, Wayne.
Okay, let's go.